I want you to imagine for a moment that you have one chance to travel back in time and you could go back to relive part of your life. And suppose that when you go back, you know everything that you know now. You have all of the understanding. You have all of the wisdom that you have developed over the years through study and experience. And imagine further than that, that when you go back in your life, you can change one thing. You could change any decision that you made. You could either change some time that you failed to take some action, or you could change any action that you took that you wish you hadn't. But you could only do this in your own life. You couldn't go back and change anything else in anyone else's life, only what you did. What would you change? Well, there are some things that I wish that I could change. There are some things that I wouldn't do given the opportunity again. There are some things that I wouldn't say. There are some attitudes that I would have changed. And the reason why I would want to change those things, because I understand more now than I did back then. Well, what about you? Is there anything that you would change? Now you might say, well, Zach, everybody would want to change something, but we can't do that. No, we can't do that. I recognize that. But there is something that we can do. I want to call your attention this evening to the parable of Jesus that we call the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. You may remember the parable. It is a very familiar and well-known story to Bible students. In Luke chapter 15, I want to begin reading at verse 11. Luke 15 and verse 11. Jesus would say, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. I'd like for us to think about this story tonight. I want you to notice in verse 12 that the younger of the sons said to his father, Father, give me the share of the inheritance that falls on me. This isn't something that he went and politely asked his father to do. I get the sense as we read this story that he demands for his father to give him his share of the inheritance. According to Jewish law, an elder son received twice as much as the other sons. And a father could distribute his wealth during his lifetime if he wanted to. Now understand, it was perfectly legal for the younger son to go and to ask for his share of the estate and even to sell it. But it was certainly not a very loving thing to do at all. Because as he was demanding his share of the inheritance, basically what he was saying to his father is, Father, I wish you were dead. But the younger of these two sons decided, he had his mind made up, that he wanted to leave home. Now, the parable doesn't exactly tell us why it is that he wanted to leave. Maybe he had all he could stand of home. Maybe he had all he could stand of dad, and especially older brother. In their society, the older brother was in control when dad passed away. In their society, the older brother received two-thirds of the inheritance. In their society, the older brother would make all of the family decisions when dad passed away. Or maybe he left home because he was simply sick of religion. The Jewish religion controlled every aspect of life. It controlled what you ate. It dictated what you could and could not do on Saturday. It controlled everything from your work, even down to your food preparation. You went to the synagogue every Saturday to listen to Scripture being read and for Scripture to be discussed, to hear rules and to hear laws declared and to pray. You would have to go to the temple to offer sacrifices. You were expected to pray personal prayers 3 times a day. There was a rule for everything. You were required to know those rules and to keep them. Or maybe it is the boy wanted to leave because he wanted to experience life without religion. To experience what the New Testament calls the pleasures of sin. Maybe it is he wanted to get drunk. Maybe he wanted to run with the bar crowd. Maybe he wanted to be sexually irresponsible. Maybe he wanted to gamble all of his money away. Maybe he wanted to have the high of being the center of attention and blowing all of his money. I don't really know. The parable doesn't tell us why he wanted to leave home, but we know that he simply wanted to leave home. So he demanded his share of the inheritance, and then he packed his bags. And verse 13 tells us that not many days after he made this great demand, that the younger son gathered up everything that was given to him and all of his possessions. He probably had to convert some livestock into some grain, into liquid cash. And then in verse 13, if you keep reading there, it says that he went on a journey into a far or distant country. And there it is, in that far distant country, that he squandered his estate with loose living. Or depending upon your version, riotous living or reckless living. He was getting as far away from home as he possibly could. Could you imagine how happy he was when he finally walked out of that door with his inheritance? He was on his own. He didn't need anybody in his life, and he certainly didn't need his family. I'm sure that he wore some fine clothes. He probably looked so good. He went far away from home, away from all of the influences of home. He lived like he wanted to live with no restraints. He had absolutely no restrictions in his life. He didn't want his family to bother him. He didn't want religion to bother him. He didn't even want to be near anyone who even knew his family. He was committed to doing his own thing. But you know, living that life that he chose to live was very expensive. Now, of course, as long as he had the money from his inheritance, he could pay for the party. He had all kinds of friends. He got all kinds of attention. The wise man would say in the book of Proverbs that the poor is hated even by his neighbor, but those who love the rich are many. So I have no doubt that the younger son experienced pleasures that he never knew existed. He probably experienced some fantastic highs because doing what is wicked and acting irresponsibly outside of the will of God can create some incredible pleasures. I mentioned a moment ago the Hebrew writer spoke about how Moses dealt with the pleasures of sin. The Hebrew writer writes that Hebrews chapter 11 at verse 25. But you know, there's another word there that the Hebrew writer uses that is very significant in that text, and I believe it's significant in Luke chapter 15 as well. He doesn't just talk about the pleasures of sin. The Hebrew writer talks about the passing pleasures of sin. You see, sin brings a lot of pleasure. But it also brings about some terrible consequences. And the worst consequences, the most painful consequences, the consequences that demand prices that you never dreamed existed, are the consequences that occur inside of you. So there came a day, and it probably wasn't too long after this young son had left home, that his money ran out. At the same time as his money ran out, this far country that he went into to live the high life suffered from an economic depression. Verse 14 of our text tells us that when he had spent everything, this severe famine occurred in that country and he began to be impoverished. He began to be in need. So immediately, perhaps overnight, this young man's position changed. Before, he had lived in the finest places. Before, he was welcomed everywhere. Now, He had nowhere to stay and he was welcome nowhere. Before, he had lots of friends. He had lots of friends who wanted to party with him. Now that he had no money, his friends were nowhere to be found. Before, he never wanted for food. He never wanted for drink. Now he had nothing to eat. Now he had nothing to drink. Before, he didn't need to work, and he certainly didn't want to work. Now he was desperate. He had to find a job, even when there was in a time where there were no jobs to have. Do you remember why he left home? It's possible, again, he left home to get away from every restraint, every influence of home, and he did. He probably wanted to get away from Dad's watchful eye, and he did. He probably wanted to get away from older brother, and he did. He probably wanted to get away from religion, and he did. But you know, getting away didn't create the result that this young man expected. The only job that he could find was feeding the pigs. I've heard it said before that the prodigal son went to the far country to find himself, and it is there where he actually lost himself. Verse 15, if you keep reading there in the text that we read, it says, "So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything." I want you to understand that this job this young man took was a desperate move. Here was a boy who never would have fed pigs at home because they were forbidden to Jewish people. But out of necessity, it forced him to do the unthinkable. Here was a young man who literally starved to death and no one cared. In fact, if he died, he would probably solve someone's problem. Nobody cared enough to give him anything. Even the slop that he was feeding the pigs was starting to look pretty appetizing. But you know, verse 17 contains one of the most insightful statements that Jesus ever made, as he tells us this young man took the first step toward changing his life for the better. You know, Jesus was the master teacher. And he was so great at stating the most profound, insightful statements and simple and understanding statements. And Jesus simply said that one day, as this starving man was feeding the pigs, in verse 17, that he came to himself. I like other versions that say, he came to his senses. What a great moment of realization in this young man's life. Because in that moment, he actually understood what he had done. In that moment, he actually understood where he was and why he was there. In that moment, he understood that it was not his father's fault. He understood that it was not his brother's fault. He understood that it was not religion's fault, but that it was his own fault. So here he was. He was doing what he was doing. He was starving to death because of his choices, because of his own decisions, because he was chasing after the pleasures of sin. You know, at that moment, he realized a lot of things. He realized that he could not go back and turn the clock. He couldn't change the past. He couldn't go back and reverse any of those bad decisions that he made at the beginning. But the beauty of the story is that he also realized that he had a choice as to what decision to make next. He didn't have to stay where he was. If he stayed there, it was because he decided to stay there instead of accepting responsibility for his decisions and his actions. If he sat there and fed the pigs and he starved to death, it was because he decided to starve instead of accepting responsibility for his decisions and actions. If he died far away from home feeding the pigs, it was because he decided to die instead of accepting responsibility for his decisions and actions. I think what happened to the prodigal son is very simple. One day he woke up. He saw what was happening. He realized where he was. And in that moment, he asked the question to himself, "What am I doing here? What am I doing here? How did I get here?" I think in his heart, he knew. He was convinced that he could never go back and be the son that he once was. He, in fact, as we read in the story, he didn't even want to go back to be a son. He was ashamed of what he had done. He was ashamed of the grief and the pain that he caused. He was ashamed of the way that he had wasted his inheritance and wasted his life with riotous living. He just didn't want to starve to death. And the only person who would care enough about him to even let him be a servant and to have food was his father. That's extremely important. You pay careful attention to this simple truth. Nothing good happened in this man's life until he came to himself. You know, in the world all around us, and sadly even in the church, terrible things happen to people because of one of two things. Either they never come to themselves, or when they do come to themselves, they refuse to accept responsibility for their decisions and for their actions. Now, you would think that someone who is suffering the consequences of the life that this young man had chosen would come to himself. But you know, today we sometimes prefer to deny the reality of the situation that we are in. Or oftentimes, we prefer to blame someone else for what has happened because of our own decisions and actions. We often will say, it's my parents' fault. You know, if I had better parents, I'd be better off. Or it's my husband's fault. Or it's my wife's fault. Or it's my friend's fault. Or it's the elder's fault. Or it's the preacher's fault. Or it's someone else at the church's fault. But it's not my fault. Brethren, it is essential that we accept responsibility for our own actions. That's the very heart and soul of repentance. But the person who refuses to come to himself will never truly repent. Now, we can't change the past. We can't go back and undo something that we've done that was a horrible decision. But we can find forgiveness if we are truly willing to repent of our sins. So here is the prodigal son. He's feeding the pigs. He had nowhere to call home. He had no family where he lived. By his own choice, he was stuck in this far distant country. He deliberately separated himself from his family and his home. It's very likely that his family had no idea where he was, and even if they wanted to, they could not have found him if they tried. He didn't have enough money to buy food. He looked like a man, I'm sure, who fed pigs. He looked like a man, I'm sure, in his dress who was feeding pigs. I'm sure he was a man who smelt like he was feeding pigs. He was a starving man. A person, quite possibly, who saw him at home before he left may not even recognize him because of the situation that he is in now. But then came that great moment when he came to himself. When he came to his senses, when he saw himself for who he truly was, when he saw what he did for what it was. And at that moment, he came to himself and he stood at a fork in the highway of life that we all find ourselves at. One fork was the road to death. He could stay where he was and die. He could do nothing and die. He could fill himself with shame, with guilt, with the embarrassment of self-pity and die. He could get angry at the world for all of his misfortune and die. He could punish himself for all the bad decisions that he made in the past, but he would still die. The other fork was the road of courage. You know, when he left home, he thought he was really being courageous. But I think as he was feeding the pigs, he learned some very hard lessons about courage. He learned that it takes absolutely no courage to be selfish. It takes no courage to be greedy. It takes no courage to be controlled by pleasure. It takes no courage to be rebellious and to be angry and to be defiant. Those things don't require courage because they don't require that we deal honestly with ourselves. But feeding pigs in a foreign country during a terrible economic depression led this man to the discovery of true courage. You know, it takes true courage to look your personal failures right in the face and admit them. Not to have a person force you to confess them, but to admit them to yourself when there is no one to talk to, that takes a lot of courage. It takes courage to accept responsibility for the mess that you have made. And it takes a great deal of courage to take the necessary action in order to deal with the mess that you've made in your life. It takes a great deal of courage to make a positive, constructive decision and to follow through with that decision. You know, if the prodigal son was to take the road of courage, he had to do some very specific things. First of all, he had to leave the pigs and he had to get out of that far distant country. Second of all, to get on the road that went home, he simply had to take that first step to get on the road and to start walking. Third, which I know took a great deal of courage, is that he had to admit to his father that he had failed, that he had made a bad decision. But I tell you, the hardest thing this man ever did in life was also the most courageous thing that he ever done. He had the courage to go home. I want you to think about the difficulty that was involved in walking home. He wanted to admit his failures and his mistakes, but he didn't know how his confession would be received when he got home. Can you imagine the thoughts that went through his mind on that trip? I wonder, as he started walking, did he ever turn back thinking, this is not going to work? In my opinion, the closer he got home, the more afraid he became. I know what Dad is going to say. I can just hear him now. I know how upset Dad is going to be when he finds out that I've wasted all of that money. I know how upset Dad will be that I ruined the family's name. Oh, and then there's older brother. Oh, I dread facing my older brother. You know the end of the parable. He had good reason to dread facing his older brother. But as he made the trip home, I just wonder if there were moments when he thought that there's no need. There's no need for me to complete this trip. Dad will reject me. My older brother will run me off. My former friends that I had before I left, they'll shun me. Nobody will be glad to see me back. I'll be a constant living embarrassment to everyone that I have to face at home. I wonder if there were moments as he was walking down that road that he thought, I'd rather die than have to go back home and face all of that. But I want you to pay special attention to the fact that without the courage to go home, nothing in this young man's life would have changed for the better. For the prodigal son to come to himself, that was good. But if he did nothing, nothing changed. For him to realize his failure was good, but if he did nothing, nothing changed. For the man to accept responsibility for his own actions was good, but if he did nothing, nothing changed. For the son to confess to himself that it happened because of his choices and his decisions was good, but if he did nothing, nothing changed in his life. For the man to be sorry for his decision, sorry for the pain he caused, sorry for his absolute foolishness, sorry for his wastefulness and his inheritance, that was all good. But if he did nothing, nothing changed. And I'll tell you, the hardest thing that any of us will ever have to do is to deal honestly with ourselves. And the most courageous thing that any one of us will ever do in our lives is to redirect our lives. Because I tell you, it involves admitting our weaknesses. It involves admitting that I need God, that I need to trust in Him. Trust in Him that He loves me enough in spite of my imperfection. And it involves redirecting our lives to doing what is right with the right motives. Does all of that take courage? Absolutely. It always takes courage to look yourself in the mirror and take a good close look. It always takes courage to be honest with yourself about your weaknesses. It always takes courage to face your fears. It always takes courage to trust in the promises of the Almighty God. And it always takes courage to redirect your life. When the prodigal son came to himself, he knew. He knew that he was dying. When he faced the fact of what he had done and what he was doing was killing him, he had to make a choice. when he made the choice to redirect his life, he had to act upon that choice that he made. So I want to ask you this evening as we close, are you in the same situation? I'm not talking about this facade that we all can put on, this mask that we put on when we come into the church building and we come around our brothers and sisters in Christ and we wear this mask for everyone to see. We put our smiley face on. I'm not asking if you have your family and your friends fooled. I'm not asking if you have the elders fooled or the congregation fooled here. I am asking, when you look deep within your heart, when you are truthful and you are honest about yourself, when it is no one else but just you and God, are you where you ought to be? If not, this evening, you stand at a fork in the road of life. You have a choice to make. And I pray tonight, just like that prodigal son, that you will have the courage to do what may very well be the hardest thing that you will ever do in your whole life. And that's to go home. That's to go home. You see, the great news is that God wants you to be a part of His family. There has never been a time when God didn't want you in His family. But listen, it is not enough for God to want you as His son or daughter. You have to have the desire to be a child of His. And I'll be honest with you. There will always be an older brother who makes it difficult for you to come home. Satan will always see to that. You know, the beautiful part of the story of the prodigal son is that he rehearsed this great speech that he was going to make as he got home, and that he was going to tell his father that he had sinned, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just treat me as one of your hired servants. And when he got the courage to go home, and he started walking, and finally as he is making that trip down the road, the beautiful part of the story is that the father must have been waiting for him. I get the sense that he was there on the front porch, just waiting to see the shadow, waiting to see something in the distance, hoping it was his son. And as his son got closer and closer, and he realized just who it was who had made the trip back home, his father ran to him. And he embraced him for coming back. God wants you to be in His family, and He is waiting with open arms on the front porch, waiting for you to come home. The price has been paid. Jesus has sacrificed Himself, shed His pure, sinless, perfect blood on the cross for you to have all of your sins forgiven. And when you deal with yourself honestly, when you look at yourself in the mirror and you come face to face with who you are, you will realize that you are a sinner in need of the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ. When you do that, when you come to yourself and realize that you are a sinner, you have the responsibility to respond to the gospel call by repenting of your sins, doing what we talked about tonight, redirecting your life away from sin, and to start walking in the will of God. When you do that, you need to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you need to be immersed in water. Jesus would say, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved." If you will respond to the gospel call, God is waiting with open arms to accept you back. Why don't you come forward tonight? Make your life right with God as we stand and sing.